Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Good afternoon. Today we are going to talk about the neurodegenerative dementia disorders and about the basic diagnosis. And my guest for today is Magda Colakis, the well-known expert in dementia with long experience in the field. I'm Elka Stefanova from Belgrade, from the Memory Clinic, and I'm working with dementia patients for a long time. As it is well known, neurodegenerative diseases like dementia syndromes represent a substantial burden of disease worldwide. Estimated global prevalence of all causes of dementia is about 700 per 100,000 person, with the number of patients with dementia nearly doubling every 5 years. Still, there is known and well accepted is the clinical diagnosis, and remains not entirely reliable, with about 87% of sensitivity and 58% of specificity. Proper diagnosis nowadays is crucial to add with prognosis and pharmacological management. And from the point that we are waiting for approval for disease-modifying therapy, the diagnosis could be very important, or at the beginning of the disease when the signs are nearly almost very mild and very discreet. There are three major types of neurodegenerative dementia: Alzheimer's, Lewy body, and frontotemporal, but the most prevalent is Alzheimer's. And in this field, we have rapidly fastened knowledge about the biomarkers and about the pathophysiology of the disease. And in the light of the new modifying therapy, we have to know who of our patients have got the prodromal or onset of Alzheimer's disease. Magda Colakis was born in Thessaloniki, Greece, and studied medicine and theology at the Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. And at the beginning, she collaborated from 1982 as a scientific collaborator, and later he received her specialty in neuropsychiatry and her PhD. And now she is professor emeritus, and she continues doing clinical and research work in the field of dementia. And she will be our guest. Good afternoon, Magda. We are very happy to have you. And I would like to ask you and to discuss some very hot topics nowadays in the field of Alzheimer's disease.
Good afternoon, Elka. I'm very happy to be with you. And thank you very much for your kind invitation.
Magda, you know about this because you are so long in this field. You have been working when the diagnostic criteria was from NHA from 1984, and then there is a big change in 2011 and another change in 2018. And you have opportunity now to tell us how it was moving, this field it was moving, and how is going to be more biologically oriented in the making the diagnosis of Alzheimer's dementia. I would like you to discuss with you something about biomarkers and like CSF and blood and imaging biomarkers. But you can start from the diagnostic criteria. I think that is very important.
We started working patients with dementia since 1990. So we have very big experience with these patients, but until 2018, we have a possibility to give a a problematic diagnosis to patients with mild problems, about 2 to 40%, according to all the literature there is around in the world. So after 2018, having in our hands the biological markers, mainly in CSF in our country, because these days we'll have amyloid PET, we work with more certainty that we give a more precise diagnosis to our patients. 50 of our patients who come to help, to ask for help in Greece, are mild cognitive impairment patients, and a small amount of them have subjective cognitive decline. So it is very useful today to know how we give a precise diagnosis to these people. If the persons have dementia, then we are in a better situation to say them if they have Alzheimer's disease or Lewy body disease or frontotemporal dementia, because the clinical criteria are very good. But if we have doubts, then we can do a lumbar puncture and have the CSF proteins, which will help us, and the ratio of them. But mainly, and for the vast majority of our patients, we don't need CSF proteins, because we have the clinical picture which leads us to our precise diagnosis. If we have doubts for which kind of dementia we have in front of us, then we go to lumbar puncture and explain to our patients that we need more examinations in order to give them precise diagnosis. But for patients with subjective cognitive decline and mild cognitive decline, we have to do these biological markers in order to be more successful in giving a more precise diagnosis, because 30% of them remain stable after 3 years, and other 30% become better because perhaps they had a depression episode, or they had a vitamin B12 low, or they had hypothyroidism, and if they had the suitable medication, they will come at the healthy situation. So it is very useful for us in 21st of century to give a good and precise diagnosis to these patients and let them know that they are going to progress to Alzheimer's disease or other kind of dementia, or they will be stable for the next 3 years, or they will be healthy after some time, a short period of time. So it is very useful for us, the biological marker today. And until now, we have more than 1,000 patients who have done biological markers in CSF. And from them, some of them will do also amyloid PET when we have amyloid PET. So this is the situation in Greece. As far as the diagnosis, I would like to refer that the steps we follow. The first is the contact with the doctor, the neurologist, or the primary care physician, who will send us the person with cognitive decline. And then the doctor, the neurologist, will send this person to a neuropsychologist who is going to do all the battery which the European Consortium suggests for people with mild cognitive impairment. And I think this study was published in 2019. And we follow these instructions. And then if we have the results of neuropsychological examination, then we continue with medical history and other demographics. We have a very big database, more than 21,000 people are referred in this database. And if we have the doubts, if the patient in front of us has dementia according the clinical criteria we have now, then we go on to announce his diagnosis that he has dementia. And we think that this diagnosis is Alzheimer's disease or frontotemporal dementia. But if they want to have more precise diagnosis, then we go on with lumbar puncture. And we do also MRI or CT scan if they have pacemaker or other problems which they don't permit us to do MRI. And we finish with blood examinations, usually we use, in order to exclude reversible dementias. And if we have all this information, we disclose the diagnosis to the patient and caregiver if he has dementia or she has dementia. And if he has mild cognitive impairment or subjective cognitive decline, and he came to us alone without any caregiver, then we disclose to him the possibility to give him a more precise diagnosis doing lumbar puncture. If you want to know, to say some more about blood biomarkers, I think that there are many studies which support that these blood biomarkers are very reliable now, but we are waiting some more examinations and more research. Recently in 2022, a person, a scientist from Sweden, received an ERC, Oscar Hansson, who will do only a research on blood biomarkers and soon will have the final results, which will help us very much, because the patients are very happy to do a blood examination and not lumbar puncture, which is an invasive method. So I believe that the next years will have reliable biomarkers, blood biomarkers, which will help us doing our work more simply.
Thank you. And as far as I understand, for the very near future is very close to us. And you think that the most useful will be blood biomarkers, considering the compliance of the patient and elegance and the fluency of these biomarkers, because it is only blood samples. And you are trying to tell us, beside the cognitive estimation and the cognitive testing, the blood biomarkers will be very useful in making the diagnosis.
Yes, and I would like to add that now we are running a very big project in collaboration with Altoida from United States and Eisai from Japan, where we examine all our patients with CSF proteins, blood examination, FTG PET, MRI, and digital biomarkers, in order to see which of them will be the best, in order to do our work very fast and very simple. So perhaps a digital biomarker like Altoida will be the most reliable, without taking blood, without taking CSF, cerebrospinal fluid. So we are in this way now, and we select now samples, because it is very useful to know that if a patient has amyloid PET positive, does not mean that he will have dementia in future. Also, if he has a tau PET positive, perhaps these people will die healthy. And this is why we continue to try to find biomarkers which will be more reliable and more, and will help us more and more in the future, in the near future, not far future.
What is your impression? What will be the very useful and very straightforward diagnosis beside the cognitive testing? Do you think that in the near future we will not need the cognitive testing, or will have the clinical, some kind of clinical examination?
I think without clinical examination, we cannot go on. The exams, the examinations, the other examinations, the laboratory examination can help us. As I said, we have, perhaps we have plaques and tangles in our brains, but we are healthy. So the first thing that we have to do as neurologists is to examine the patient and see what we can, how we can help him. For example, he can, he has other also comorbidities. We have to take care of them in collaboration with other doctors. And I think that the future for dementia is prevention of dementia, not treating dementia. Because when a patient has dementia, we believe that 70% of his or her brain is destroyed. So we can do many, we cannot do many things in order to help him. The only thing we can do is to delay the progression. But if we start working with the prevention strategies, which are also happen in the world under the umbrella of FINGER, World FINGER, which is body exercise, cognitive exercise, solving all the other comorbidities, and also follow a good follow-up of these elderly people who are at high risk in order to have dementia, then I think we'll succeed prevention, and we'll succeed to reduce the prevalence and incidence of dementia next years.
Considering the subjective cognitive impairment, what we should do to improve and to establish the diagnosis more on, we have to introduce more subtle and more sophisticated tests in the clinic, in especially in the memory clinic, to have some kind of a cognitive status of this patient, because nowadays we do not have any kind of typical findings for subjective cognitive impairment. We have only the complaints of the patient, and then we didn't found we didn't find anything on the cognitive test which is significantly pathological. What do you think? We should go further in more specific, more subtle tests for subjective cognitive impairment.
Very good, very good, and very, very modern question, Elka. Thank you very much for this. I think that the same consortium which worked for mild cognitive impairment for suggesting a neuropsychological battery, they have to work also, I think you were also between them, they have to work also to prepare a battery for these patients, because if we examine with the batteries we have in our hands, we find nothing. They have nothing problematic. So we have all the scientists work together in order to prepare batteries useful in everyday clinical praxis, which will help us in order to have to can follow up them. We have no tools now in our hands. But if there are people who are in very good health and they ask for help and they want to know more and more, what we do in Greece? We do apolipoprotein A in blood in order to see if they have ApoE4, epsilon-4. And then we have a much experience using tramiprosate or motabrine, as you know, there was an old study which showed that epsilon 4 carriers may remain stable for 1 and more year and 1.5 year. They remain stable. Is a very good result. So this is the first I do. And also we use natural products in order to help them to remain stable until we have better diagnostic tools to give them a precise diagnosis. But also if they want, I do lumbar puncture to them also. And we have some results if, for example, we have in some of them amyloid positive or phospho-tau positive or total tau positive. And then we discuss for them that perhaps they will progress to dementia in the next years. But if they want, and if they sign informed consent that they want to do this, and then we continue doing this.
Okay, thank you, Magda. What is your final statement? That is it easier to make the diagnosis nowadays or at the beginning of your career? With all these biomarkers and supportive criteria.
Yes, I think that when I started working with patients with cognitive problems, I was more sure that the patient that I have in front of me has Alzheimer's disease. Now, after 33 years working with patients with cognitive problems, I say that I doubt if you have Alzheimer's disease. At the preclinical situations, and also in some patients who have not the problems like memory problems or behavior problem or hallucinations, if they have no such things, in order to lead me to give a diagnosis, I say that I doubt for your diagnosis and I doubt for the medications you receive. So when I was in 1990, I was more sure about the diagnosis because I had only clinical criteria to follow. But now I have to doubt about the diagnosis and I have to do more examinations than I did in 1990 in order to be more sure that the diagnosis is precise diagnosis according to the recent international criteria with biomarkers.
We have a pleasure and honor to have Magda Solaki as our guest. Thank you, Magda, for your discussion and for your giving us opinion about the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease.
I would like also to thank Elka for this kind invitation, and I hope next year's we have this, the same opportunity to discuss about this, having in our hands blood biomarkers, which will be very positive. I heard 2 days before about activity of astrocytes in a natural paper in blood as blood biomarkers. So I hope that in the next conversation we are going to have in the next years, we'll have a more precise biomarkers and more precise diagnosis to give to our patients.
Okay, we can address then cognitive and clinical examination plus biomarkers from these well-known biomarkers in classical Alzheimer's disease, and neuroinflammatory markers would be somehow needed for proper diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, considering the future therapy and the future treating of this patient. Are you agree?
Yes, and I think that inflammatory biomarkers perhaps will be the first biomarkers, and perhaps these biomarkers will be helpful at subjective cognitive decline stage where the inflammation, the neuroinflammation comes and starts all this pathophysiology of Alzheimer's disease.
Thank you, and have a nice day.
Have a nice day, Helka. Bye-bye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.